Good morning, New Hope. Good to see you all. Hey, so glad you're joining us at our different locations. Want to give a shout out to those of you at our Kailua High School location, those of you at our Correctional Center locations, those of you at Ann Pearl Church, as well as those of you joining us online, of course, all of you here at the Kaneohe Theaters. And so, church, let's go ahead and just give a warm welcome to everybody at our different locations. So glad you guys are with us. Happy New Year. And we're going to help you get off to a great start in this new year. So I want you to think about this at all of our locations, okay? Here's a question I want you to think about. Do you know anybody who is easily offended? Somebody who gets easily irritable. They take offense sometimes a little too easily. If you know somebody that gets easily offended, go ahead and just lift your hand up. Hold it up high, all of our locations. Yeah. Yeah, if that person knew you were holding your hand up for them, they'd be really offended right now, right? You put your hands down. Do you ever get kind of irritated over sometimes little things? I know I can. Sometimes I let the little things irritate me. For example, when I'm driving the car, and there's, you know, I have the right of way, and then somebody is wanting to come in, and I let them in, and, you know, I don't know about you, but I kind of expect a little, you know, shaka or a little, you know, courtesy thank you. When they don't do that, that irritates me. Does that irritate you? You're like, oh, no, go ahead already, okay? It's all good. Yeah, no, really, go ahead. You know, and I just want to remind them to, you know, give a little shaka. I just want to remind them, you know, with a little bit of car action sometimes. But or how about this one? Have you ever been, like, at the mall and you open up the door for somebody going into, you know, one of the stores, and you open up the door and they walk right through and they don't say thank you? It's like, oh, no worries. I'll just stand here and be your personal door boy, you know? It's like, come on, they can be so irritating. Or how about this? You text somebody, and then they don't respond until, like, hours later, like, the next day. Isn't that irritating? Or even worse is when they do this. You text them, and then you see the little bubbles going where they're responding back, and you're waiting. Okay, here comes the text, and the bubbles are going. You're like, uh-huh, all right, okay. Ooh, this is going to be a long one. And you're waiting, and then the bubbles stop. And no text comes. And you're like, what were you going to say? What did they say? Did they write something and erase it? You're like, wait, hey, don't dump me in the middle of you texting me back, all right? But like, I don't know, maybe, do those little things ever irritate you? Maybe I'm the only one who needs counseling here, okay? But, you know, those are some small irritations. But on a more serious note, there are some larger offenses and irritations that we have to deal with. And maybe you live in a dysfunctional home, and that's caused you to feel a lot of negative emotions lately, especially over the holidays. Or maybe you had somebody lie to you, or they let you down. And boy, that can stir up a lot of negative emotions. Maybe you work in a toxic work environment, and, you know, there's some a few toxic coworkers, and you're like, wow, they're so annoying and irritating. That can stir up a lot of negative emotions. And so I think we could all just agree that life has enough problems and irritations that we can experience negative emotions. Can we all agree to that? And what can happen is if we allow those negative thoughts, those negative emotions to linger for too long, is they can seep into our hearts, into our soul, and then we start to carry those negative emotions around. You see, it's quite normal to have negative emotions because life is imperfect and this is heaven, not earth. So we're going to have that. But what God doesn't want us to do is go into this new year carrying those negative emotions around. And so there's a verse that's I think, the key verse for this series, and especially a key verse for today. And it's written by a guy by the name of King Solomon. And the Bible says he was the wisest man who ever lived. And he wrote two books in the Old Testament, three, but two of them are called books of wisdom. One is called the book of Proverbs, the other is called Ecclesiastes. If you've never read the Bible or you think the Bible's boring, go to Proverbs, read one chapter a day. There's 31 chapters. It's a great way to start reading the Bible because it's full of practical advice on parenting, on how to manage your money, on dealing with difficult people, on how to manage all kinds of things. It's really practical. But this wisest man on earth wrote a verse here that I'm going to show you. And he says, of all the things I've written, this is one of the most important things you can do in 2018. And here's what he says. He says this. He says, above all, so above all the things I've written, be careful what you, say it with me, what you think, your thought life, because your thoughts control your what?
Life.
Your life. See, God says you and I need to be careful how we think, because our thoughts will determine how happy or unhappy we're going to be in 2018. Your thoughts will determine how much joy and peace you have this year. Your thoughts will determine how much positive emotions you experience or how many negative emotions you experience. In fact, your thought life will determine how often you sin and don't sin. Why? Because your thoughts control your life. And so God wants us to examine our thought life, and he wants to help steer us towards thoughts that bring life and peace. Here's how the Bible says it. Take a look at Romans 8. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds, their thoughts, set on what the sinful nature desires. And what he's saying there is, let me say it this way, and this is going to help a lot of you. You may be a Christian for a long time. You're like, why do I still have some of these negative thoughts? Here's why. The Bible says you have a sinful nature, and you have God's Spirit living in you, and they are at war with each other every single day. So every day, you can be a Christian for 50 years. When you wake up, your sinful nature is at war with God's Spirit. And that's why you do things that you don't want to do sometimes, because your sinful nature tries to take over. This verse is saying, hey, don't feed the sinful thoughts. Feed God's Spirit more, and then it'll overpower your sinful nature. So it goes on to say it this way. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires, not what the sinful nature desires. And then he goes on to say this. The mind of the sinful man is death. So in other words, if you want to feed your sinful nature, it's going to lead you to a lot of pain, a lot of negativity, a lot of death. However, the mind controlled by the Spirit leads to, say it with me, life and
peace.
And isn't that what we want this year? So what the Bible is saying is that, hey, if you want to have more peace and more life this year, then you and I need to manage our thought life well this year. So what I want to do at this point is I want to just kind of walk through how we can detox some of the negative thoughts, because we all have them. You had negative thoughts and emotions this year, and so did I. And what God wants us to do is detox from them when they arise so that we can have more life and peace. So today we're going to talk about detoxing negative emotions. So what I want to do right now is I want us to look at what are common negative thoughts that we have? And then I'll talk about how we replace them so that God's Spirit overpowers the sinful nature that we have. So let's look at the first common emotion that we all experience, and that is the emotion of anger. Now, if I asked you, are you an angry person? Most people say, I'm not an angry person. But if I asked you, do you ever get irritated or annoyed? We'd all say, yeah, because that's just life. And what can happen is when we get irritated and annoyed, if we don't manage that well, our sinful nature will turn it into bitterness and grudges and hate and resentment. And when we start to carry these emotions around on a regular basis, that leads us to what the Bible calls as unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a very dangerous, toxic emotion to carry around in life. And what we think is this, when somebody unfairly treats us, we kind of think this. So somebody wrongs us, and we get mad at them. Like, oh. And then we somehow our sinful nature thinks that if we hold on to that anger, that it's going to benefit us and protect us. I'm going to stay mad at you. I'm not going to give you the pleasure of forgiving you. No way. And by the way, I'm not looking at a person here right now in the audience. Okay, I'm looking at an empty chair right now, okay? And so we carry that around. And we think, that's going to protect me from getting hurt again. But you know what happens? Is it's very toxic. When we carry unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness around, it hurts us more than the person who wronged us. In fact, they say that carrying unforgiveness is like lighting yourself on fire and expecting the person you hate to die from smoke inhalation. We're like, I'm going to get even at you. And we're burning inside. And they're skipping along in life. We think they're going to die from smoke inhalation. And they're like, what? They don't even care. So unforgiveness harms us more than the person who wronged us. So it's so important for us to let it go, to be forgiving. Here's how the Bible says it in Ephesians 4. This is where we need to detox. He says, detox, get rid of. Here's what God wants us to do in 2018. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Now, you say, Dave, well, how do I do this? Because you're going to have some of these emotions this year, and so will I. So how do we do it? Instead, we need to choose to be kind to each other. We need to choose with God's power to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven who? You. And so the key to detoxing from negative anger and resentment and unforgiveness is this. It's doing these things here. And most of all, it's choosing to forgive others. And you may say, Dave, but that's not fair. Like, you don't know what they did to me. It's not fair to forgive them. Well, let me just say this. When you forgive them, you're not saying that what they did was right. Forgiveness doesn't say that what they did to you was right. Forgiveness is letting go and letting God handle them. Let God handle them. Let God be your avenger. God has way more resources than you do. Let God handle those who've wronged you and hurt you. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't saying, oh, this didn't hurt me. This didn't bother me. No, no, no. Forgiveness is just saying, God, I'm letting this go. I'm leaving it with you. And I'm going to let you settle the score. And when you do that, when I do that, you know who gets free? We do. We do. So the Bible says it this way, be flexible and be forgiving. You want to detox from negative anger this year? Then be flexible and be forgiving. No matter how you're mistreated, say, I'm going to choose to be flexible and forgiving. Why? Because it frees me. Now, some of you might be sitting there going, Dave, I've tried to do this. Like, I'm trying to be flexible. I'm trying to forgive, but I just can't seem to let it go. And if that's you, I could relate. In fact, some time ago, I was struggling with forgiving somebody who had repetitiously wronged me. And I kept praying. I said, God, I just choose to let this go. I choose to forgive them. And I'm going to leave it with you. God, you've forgiven me of thousands of things. And so I forgive them as you have forgiven me. And no matter how often I prayed that, I couldn't let it go. I'd go through my day and I start thinking about what they did. I just get mad, like, oh man, that's so wrong. And I would just think of the person, I just get angry. Does that ever happen to you guys? Or maybe I'm just the most unspiritual person in this room here, okay? And so I was like, Lord, I can't let it go. I'm like trying, but I can't let it go. And then God spoke to me, not audibly, but he popped a scripture in my mind. And by the way, one of the number one ways God wants to communicate with you is through scripture. And so he popped this scripture in my mind, Matthew 18. And he says, Dave, if another believer sins against you, Dave, you need to go privately and point out the offense to that person. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. So what God was saying was, in my words, you can't let it go because I want you to go meet with that person and have a difficult conversation with them. And I was like, I don't want to meet with them, God, because they're just going to defend themselves. They're not going to say they're sorry. They're not going to ask for forgiveness, and I'll be wasting my breath. And God just said, nope, this is what I want you to do. I was like, So, you know, I call up the person, and I set up a meeting, and we meet, and I was just like, hey, I just want to share something with you. And I wasn't like getting in their face or anything like that. And I just shared, hey, you know, this is how I was feeling about what happened. And I wanted to hear your side of it, because this is just my side, and my side can be skewed and wrong. And the person kind of shared some of their thoughts, and then they just got defensive, you know, just defending themselves the whole time. Didn't say they were sorry. And of course, I didn't expect them to. And what was interesting is even though they didn't change, guess what happened in me? I was able to let it go. I was able to forgive them, finally. They didn't change. They left the meeting kind of in a huff, you know. And yet I left the meeting and I was fully free of that unforgiveness. Why? Because I met with them. And for some of you, you've been holding on to something. You've been trying to forgive them. And it could be, in your case, maybe you need to meet with that person. I don't know. I asked God about that. Because when you do what he says, it leads to your freedom. And it was totally worth the meeting. So, you want to be free from resentment and unforgiveness and anger when it arises this year? Choose to be flexible and be forgiving. Okay, here's another common negative emotion that we all experience, common thoughts, and it's this. It's worry. Now, the question isn't, do you worry? Everybody worries about something. I worry about certain things. You worry about certain things. So the question isn't, do you worry? The question is, what do you worry about? And so let me ask you, all of our locations, what do you sometimes worry about? I'll go first. I worry sometimes about my kids being a parent. Sometimes I worry about them. Unnecessarily. Sometimes necessarily. I sometimes worry about finances. Sometimes I worry about things at work. What about you? Maybe you worry about your finances. Maybe you worry about your health or the health of a loved one. Maybe you worry about, will I ever get married? Or maybe you worry about, will my marriage make it through these struggles that we're going through? What do you worry about? Okay, here's what Jesus said about worry. Take a look at this. Matthew 6, he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So what Jesus is saying is, hey, worrying isn't going to add any time to your life, so it's unnecessary. Now, let me just say it this way. It's okay to be concerned about certain things, but when those concerns morph into worry, worry is stewing without doing. It's where you're just worrying and you're not doing anything about it. And he says, when you get there, it's not helpful to you. And so what do you do to overcome your worries and fears and anxieties? Okay, the Bible gives us very specific instructions. Now, I'm going to tell you what it tells us to do. This will help you detox when you start to worry this year. And I want to tell you this. Most of you have heard this before, okay? So you're going to be like, I already know this, Dave. But let me say it this way, and I say this respectfully. Just because we know something doesn't mean we always are doing it, right? For instance, let me ask you, of all of our locations, how many of you know you need to floss your teeth, but you don't floss your teeth enough? Okay, so you know it, but you don't do it, right? How many of you know you need to eat more healthy, but you're not eating more healthy? Okay, all right. Right, how many of you know you need to read your Bible more, but you aren't? Man, what's your problem? Here's your problem. My problem is we're human, and we're forgetters, and we also have a little rebellious side in us that wants to do what it wants to do. And so just because you know what I'm about to show you, in fact, you may know everything I'm teaching you today, I would ask yourself this. Even though I know it, am I doing it? Because I tell you, when you do these scriptures that we're talking about, they work. They will help you detox from negative emotions. So here it is. You want to overcome anxieties and worries? This one works. It's awesome. You turn your worries into prayers with, say it with me, Thanksgiving. Big key point here. A lot of people pray, but we don't always pray with thanksgiving. And so here's where we find this in scripture. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Everybody say pray. Pray about everything you're worrying about. Tell God what you need, and then say it with me, and thank him for all he has done. Now, if you do this, look what happens. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. What he's saying there is, it's peace that you can have even if your problems don't go away. He says, his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And that's what God wants to do in your life this year. He wants you to detox from worrying. And the way you and I need to do it is once we start worrying, we need to start praying with thanksgiving. Let me give you an example of this. So last Sunday, we moved back into the Regal Cinemas. And we had 1 week to move back in here. 10 theaters. This is our largest campus of all of our campuses. And what many of you don't know is that it was an impossible task to get these theaters up and running before Sunday of last week. Let me explain why. The lights that you see when we were here previously before they converted the theaters, they took us months to hang and focus. The projectors that many of you are watching me on in these theaters took us months to get hung and working around the theater's schedule and getting people in and making sure everything fits right. The sound systems, the speakers that are hung, took a long time. We had one short week to do what took us months to do before we moved out of here. And so last Saturday, by the way, we had a short window to install all of the equipment. So we had from 5:30 in the morning till 9 a.m. And then we had to get out of here because the movie started at 10. So last Saturday, it's 8 a.m. in the morning. We'd been working since 5:30, and none of the projectors were operational. None of the lights were focused and operational, and none of the sound systems were fully operational. So things were hung, but they weren't operational. And I'm going, oh, man. I was literally walking here, and Zach was there. Zach and Mike and our lighting team did an amazing job, and all of our volunteers that helped us were incredible. I'm walking here on this landing, and I'm starting to worry. I'm like, we have 1 hour to get this stuff operational. We have hundreds and hundreds of people coming tomorrow morning to hear Michael Jr. And you need to know this. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but if we don't have technology, we don't do church here. We turn people away. because I am being projected into all these theaters and locations right now. Like, we have to have the technology. So I'm starting to worry. I'm like, we have an hour and nothing's working. And then this verse pops in my head. Once again, God loves to speak through scripture. And he's like, Dave, start praying with thanksgiving. And I'm like, oh. So I'm like walking right here. I was like, okay, God, thank you that you're going to help us get this going. And I'm thinking, I don't know how that's going to happen, man. And I'm like, God, thank you that I'm just going to trust you, you know. I'm just going to trust you because this is a need, not a want. And we need this or we're going to turn people away. And then this word thanksgiving just kept popping in my head. What else are you grateful for, Dave? And I look around and I was like, I'm thankful for Zach and Mike and these amazing volunteers, man. If you guys saw how hard these guys work, you'd be like, wow, these are all stars in the kingdom of God. So I was looking at all volunteers. I'm like, God, thank you for them. I get to serve with them. And I'm like, God, thank you for bringing us back to Regal Cinemas. Like, this place is plush, you know? And by the way, if you guys want to put your recliners out a little bit, that's fine. Just don't do the full recliner. We're going to kick you out. Okay. just kidding. Yeah, and so God, thank you. And I just started thinking of these things I was thankful for. This all happened in a matter of like 2 minutes. And you know, once I started thanking him and I was praying, all of a sudden my focus was off the problem and my focus was placed on the one who could handle the problem. And then the thanksgiving started to increase gratitude and faith in me. And all of a sudden I had total peace. And I was like, I have no clue how we're going to get this stuff going. But I have total peace right now because it was peace from God, not peace from Dave. Now, God just so happened within the next hour to do a tech miracle. And literally within 1 hour, we had everything operational. All projectors, lights, and sound. Can you give the Lord a hand for that? That was a full-on miracle. Okay? Very cool. But let me say this. But what if he doesn't do that miracle? You can still have peace. And so this year, when you start to get anxious, turn your worries into prayers with thanksgiving. And then you got to do the rest of this verse here. A lot of people know this part of the verse. Let me show you the rest because you got to do the second part too. It's really helpful. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. In other words, manage your thought life on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know what we think about? We think about things that are wrong. We come into the church, this is wrong, that's wrong. We're dating somebody, this is wrong with you. And it's saying, no, don't think about that. Think about what's right. And then keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So this step is super important. So let me say it this way. And the way that I have phrased this is I think you'll be able to remember it. And I'm telling you, what I'm about to show you is the number one thing in 2017 that gave me peace and joy. And it came from God, but it's the number one thing that God challenged me to do a lot of this last year. And it helped me tremendously. And here it is. The next time you're having problems, do this. Focus on what's right, not what's wrong. Now, let me tell you this. Your sinful nature loves to focus on what's wrong, not what's right. So does mine. It is very unnatural for you to do this, and it's very unnatural for me to do it. We are much more focused on what's wrong than what's right. It's much easier to focus on what's wrong in your marriage than what's right in your marriage. It's much easier for you to focus on what's wrong on your job than what's right on your job. It's much easier to focus on what's wrong with your finances than what's right with your finances. And so what God is saying is we got to shift that thinking, the Bible calls it renewing of your mind, in 2018. And the more we choose to focus on what's right rather than what's wrong, the more we're going to have joy and peace. Does that make sense? So let me give you an example of this. I was talking to a person who was, this is some time ago, they were upset with some issues they were having at their job. A great person. And they're angry at some of the people that they work with. And they, you know, and I think that can happen to us from time to time. And as they shared their frustrations, I thought, man, that must be difficult. I just said to them, man, I can imagine how frustrating that is. And then I said this to him. I said, so, you know, thanks for processing this with me. I said, so I was wondering, could you tell me 5 things that are going right at your job? Tell me 5 things that are going right at your place of work. And they looked at me like, and they said, right, there's nothing right going at my job. I said, okay, well, I don't know. Let me just throw this out, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be rude or anything here, but you mentioned that your company had hired a few people and that you enjoyed working with these new people. And they're like, well, yeah. I said, so that's going right. And then they said back, yeah, but they're not fully trained yet. Like, okay, all right, all right. And I said, okay, and then this job is providing you an income, right, and healthcare for you and your family, so that's going right, yeah? And they're like, yeah, I guess. And I said, and then you told me that in this job you get to do some things that you're actually good at doing, like you're wired to do it, and you're pretty good at doing that, right? And that brings you some satisfaction. I mean, maybe not a lot, but some. I said, right, is that true? And they're like, well, yeah, that is true. And then all of a sudden they're shifting, move from what's wrong on the job to what was right. And then they came up with a bunch of things that was going right on the job. And you know what's interesting is when they left, they felt joy and peace, even though none of their problems at work had changed. So you go, wait, Dave, so how come they had joy and peace even though there was no, their problems didn't change? It's because their thinking changed. Their focus changed. Their focus shifted from what was wrong to what was right. Now, please don't misunderstand me. There are times we need to focus on what's wrong or nothing would get fixed in this world. But what I'm saying is there are times we get too focused on what's wrong and we forget what's going right. For me personally, when I stop, when I'm starting to get overwhelmed by problems and I'm getting frustrated and irritated, when I say, wait, there's got to be more stuff going right here. When I stop and think about it and ask God to open my eyes to what's going right, oh man, gratitude rises up, my faith rises up, and then that activates God's power because according to your faith will it be done. When you have more faith, God's power is released more. So I want to encourage you to do this more this year. It'll help you have one of the better years. So instead of focusing on what's wrong with your job, focus on what's right. Instead of focusing on what's wrong with your spouse, focus on what's right. Instead of focusing on what's wrong with your kid, focus on what's right. And as you start to train yourself to see what's going good in your life, you're going to start to have more joy and gratitude and peace. Amen? All right, here's the next one. Real common emotion that we struggle with, and it's discouragement. We all will have some moments of getting discouraged this year. Maybe you call it being sad or you feel beat down or you're heartbroken. And that can lead to depression. And here's a big outcome to discouragement is that we want to give up. And I have no doubt in my mind this week after just praying that some of you want to give up. Like, some of you want to give up on a relationship. Some of you want to leave your spouse. I just know that. You've been having those thoughts. Some of you want to give up even maybe following God. You're like, just done already. Or some of you want to give up on your job. Or you want to maybe just, even I know in a group this size, some of you want to give up on life. And I want to tell you this, that discouragement is common. But you can detox from that. Where you don't have to give up. And God wants to show you how. So, the next time you want to give up, you may feel like this. You may feel like this person in Psalms, where he said, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And if you're feeling that way, you're normal. This is part of being a human being. But God wants to help you get past this. So when this happens in your life, here's what you need to remember. You could write this down. This can help you so much. Whatever you're going through, it could be worse. It could be worse. I was having a meal with my friend recently, and he was telling me about how he was at dinner and these two missionaries joined them, a pastor and his wife, and they were talking about their journeys as they served Jesus in a third world country. And they were on a train, and while they were on this train, it was in a country where Christianity is banned. And the people on the train found out that this husband and wife were Christians, and you know what they did to them? They brutally beat up the wife and the husband, and then they threw them off the train in the middle of nowhere. And as the missionaries were telling the story, the missionary looked at the pastor at the table, and my friend said that the missionary said to the pastor, he said, and not in a rude way, he said, so you, pastor, he said, pastor, tell me, how have you had to suffer for Jesus? And the pastor was silent. Because he realized the stuff that he had gone through was much smaller than what this pastor and his wife went through. And he was speechless. And I heard that story and I thought, man, there are times I just get, you know, I feel like quitting certain things too. But let me tell you, I get to serve Jesus in Hawaii. Folks, you get to serve him in Hawaii. Like, this is paradise. Like, we're not on some train getting beat up for Jesus, being thrown out in the middle of nowhere. Whatever you're going through, it could be worse. It could be worse. I'm not saying what you're going through is not hard. I'm sure it's very hard, but it could be so much worse. You and I sometimes need to just get on our knees and go, thank you for calling me to serve you in Hawaii, of all places. I praise you for that. Folks, you can carry a Bible and not get thrown in jail. You get to come to church without fear of being persecuted and beaten with rods and being lashed, as many of our brothers and sisters are experiencing around the world. Whatever you're going through, could be worse. Could be worse. Here's a little survey I want you to take real quick, okay? I want you to answer this. Tell me if this has happened to you. All of our locations. I've been in prison multiple times for my faith in Jesus. Yes or no? If so, put a check there. I've been flogged severely and almost died several times. Does that happen to anybody here? Because I want to meet you if that's happened. Okay? I have been whipped 39 times on 5 different occasions. Okay? I've been beaten with rods 3 times. I have been shipwrecked 3 times. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Now, some of you are reading that going, yeah, I went on a cruise ship. But that's not the kind of night and day. We're talking floating, night and day, open sea, okay? So I think that's a no for most of us. I've had to constantly move from different cities and states. Some of you might go, yeah, that's me. Maybe you're in the military. I have often gone without sleep. Some of you are like, oh, yeah, that's me, okay? I've gone without food. Eh, sometimes. Have you ever gone days without water? So what we're seeing here is what happened to one of our brothers in Christ. His name was Paul. This is from 2 Corinthians 11. And this is what God had him go through. And when I read that, I go, my problems are really small. You know, the Bible says, take up your cross and bear it daily. I think the cross I have to carry for Jesus in Hawaii is like this big. I'm like, in my little tiny cross for Jesus, a little bit of suffering. Oh, poor Dave, he got disappointed today. Oh, somebody left the church. Oh, poor little baby. Poor teen, poor teen, poor teen. And sometimes we need to tell our flesh, our sinful nature, like, you know what? You got it pretty good. It could be worse. Could be worse. This has helped me so, so often. And so, let me put these up on the screen here, and I want you to just think through. I'd encourage you to pick just at least one, okay? Because you may not remember all of them, but pick one. What's one that you say, I'm going to work on that in 2018? Because I'm telling you, these work. They're biblical, and they work. I practiced these last year, and I got to tell you, 2017 for me personally, was one of the most difficult years I've had in decades for many reasons. It's been one of the most difficult years I've had. But I was working on these things, even though it was hard, I was working on these things. And I can honestly say, I'm not blowing any smoke here, I had more joy and peace in 2017 than I've had in decades. And you go, how? Did your problems change? No. Problems got worse. This church got way more complicated too, because we have all these sites now. We had to move. We didn't know where we're gonna move to. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Dad died, you name it. All kinds of stuff happened. But I had more joy and peace. Why? Because I kept detoxing the negative thoughts. This stuff works. So pick at least one, okay? And just practice it and practice it. Now, I'm gonna give you one more. And this last one is for those of you who are in some chronic, deep, heavy stuff. It's really for those of you who just wanna give up. You just wanna throw in the towel. And here it is. When you want to just give up, you need to remember this. Live to hear Jesus say to you, well done. Let me explain. There's a story in the Bible. It's called the Parable of the Talents. And it indicates what's going to happen to us when we get to heaven. And in the Parable of the Talents, it says that one day we'll stand before Jesus and he's going to evaluate our life. And if we lived for him as best as we could, and we tried to do what he put us here on earth to do, you know, serving at home, work, church, and all that, then we will get to hear these words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now, everybody will go before Jesus, but not everybody's going to hear those words. And when I want to quit, I tell myself, I tell my flesh to shut up, and I say, Dave, you got to live to hear Jesus say, well done, well done. Now, I'd like you to hear Pastor Chris Hodges share about how he envisions this encounter with Jesus when he gets to heaven. And I want you to hear just how he sees it and how he's trying to live for this. And for those of you who are discouraged, I hope this will encourage you to not give up. So watch this.
Because one day, I get to meet him. Now, I don't know what your picture is. I have a picture. And if you can prove to me theologically that it's not going to happen that way, don't tell me. This is my picture. Leave me alone, all right? But I think I'm going to be in some holding area. Chris Hodges, it's your turn. Please come to see Jesus. You know, like, I'm going to get called in. And I'm gonna come around the corner. There he is. And I'm going to start taking my steps toward him. And he's going to stand up and take his steps toward me with this big old smile on his face. And because I'm a talker, I'm going to say, oh, Jesus, I love you so much. He goes, no, wait. I want to go first. And it's going to take everything in me not to talk in that moment. And I'm going to say, yes. He goes, I've had something I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. You did it. And I'm proud of you. You did what I asked you to do. And I'm going to go, no, Lord. It was my honor. He goes, no, listen to me. I'm talking. I gave you a dream. I gave you a great wife. I gave you a great family. I gave you the greatest church on the planet. I gave you the great state of Alabama. I gave you all that incredibly good looks. I gave you all. It's my story. It's my picture. And you did something with it. That was my hope. I was hoping that you would see all the things that I gave you. I wanted you to enjoy them, Chris. But I also wanted you to use them to get as many people into heaven as possible. And then the smile starts again. And he says, so I have something for you. And I'm saying, no, Lord. I mean, you gave it all. It was my honor to serve you. And he goes, I'm so sorry, though. This is my show, and I'm a rewarder. And the Bible says he is actually coming in the clouds one day to meet you. Ready for this? And he's bringing his rewards with him. The word in the Greek is apodidomai, and it means he wants to pay us back. I didn't cry in any of the services. I can't imagine how I'm going to feel. Because it's going to feel like, no. And he says, I just want to. I want to say to you, thank you for getting all these people into heaven. Thank you for doing your part. And the scripture records it this way. I'm to tears because there's days where I feel like giving up, you know? And when I forget the why, I lose my way. Because even recently, I've had days. But this keeps me going. Thank you for that. That means a lot to me. But this means more. And I just can't let him down. And so all of us got to keep going. So don't give up. Don't give up. He wants to tell us, well done. And now I've got some more things I want you to do here in heaven. I'm going to put you like, oh, Lord, okay. And he says, come and share. I love that line. Come and share. Just come and share. And so one of my jobs, so you're going to get that day. So you get your name, right? Like your name's going to be called. And you're going to get your moment in front of Jesus. And I want to prepare you for it. Okay? So this is the best way I know how. So I know if you're discouraged or stuff's not working out for you or maybe you've got distracted with life, trust me, there's more to this life than this life. There's more. And if we'll remind ourselves of it, keep focused on it.
There's more to this life than this life. And what that is heaven. And we need to be living in such a way in 2018 that we're living to hear Jesus say, well done. Because if not, we just get focused on the here and now. We get focused on the problems and the brokenness of people and in our places where we work and all that, and we just get filled with toxic negative emotions. There's more to this life than this life. So live to hear Jesus say, well done. And when you do, he'll help you push through and help you get through what you're going through. Can you say amen to that? Amen. If you would bow your heads at all of our locations, I want to lead us in a time of prayer. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray this prayer for you. Jesus, I thank you for your desire to help me work through the times I struggle with negative thoughts and emotions. And when I want to give up, I just pray. I pray you give me the strength to live, to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I need your spirit to help me when my sinful nature starts to control my thought life. And when I get frustrated and angry, would you help me to be flexible and more forgiving? I want to pray as you taught me to pray, Jesus, forgive me of my sins as I forgive today those who have sinned against me. Today I'm letting it go. I'm not going to carry around any more resentment and grudges. And when I start to worry and get stressed, remind me to turn my worries into prayers with thanksgiving so I can experience peace from you, God. And when I start to grumble, help me to shift to being grateful by focusing on what's right, not what's wrong. Help me to train my eyes to see what's right in my life, not what's wrong. You've blessed me in so many ways. And when I go through problems and they seem overwhelming, just remind me, God, that it could be worse. And I thank you that the suffering I experience for you here is not as bad as the suffering that many of my brothers and sisters are going through around the world. With everybody's heads bowed, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, that's the number one way to detox from negative emotions. And he wants to free you of all your guilt and shame today. He wants to put his spirit inside of you to help you manage your thought life in 2018 so you have one of the better years than you've ever had. So if you never begin a relationship with him, I'd encourage you to say this prayer at all of our locations. We're going to pray it with you. Just invite him into your life. Begin a relationship with him by saying these words out loud. Let's all pray this together. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to pay for my sins. I receive your forgiveness, and I choose to forgive others and myself. Please fill me with your spirit and help me to please you with my thought life. And when negative thoughts arise, help me to manage my mind your way. I give my life to you, Jesus. Help me have one of the best years I've ever had in my thought life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we congratulate those who just said yes to Jesus? Congratulations.